Okay, there we go. All right, good evening, everyone. Tonight, our shiur is sponsored by Doron and Malka Simon in honor of Avi's birthday. Mazel tov, Avi Simon. I will remind everyone that I think Avi's bar mitzvah parsha and Shabbos was the last Shabbos that Kingsway was open last year before we closed for the pandemic. So we ended on a simcha, at least for several months, and we just had the anniversary of Avi's bar mitzvah this past Shabbos, and with Purim, it was a great way to celebrate the anniversary. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen with you in a moment. If you have a Navi in front of you, you can open up to Perek Ches. There we go. All right. Just sharing my screen with you now. Okay. Okay, so let's read through the psukim a little bit, and then we'll take a look in greater depth. The parak begins. Vayehi kasher zaken Shmuel. Shmuel was an old man. Vayasem es banav shoftim liYisrael, and he appointed his children to be judges over Bnei Yisrael. We discussed at some length last week the difference between Shmuel and Chana's children, right? Who suffered a very different end. Okay, pasuk 2. Vayhi shem beno habechor Yoel v'shem mishne avia shoftim beber sheva. And he had two sons. His older son was Yoel, and his second son was named Avia, and they were both shoftim, judges in Be'er Sheva. And the children of the Navi, of the prophet Shmuel, did not follow in his ways. And they followed a life of corruption, of bribery, of fraud. And they accepted bribes, and rather than judging honorably, they subverted justice. Apparently, in response to this, or maybe not in response to this, but the Jewish people gathered together, or the elders of the Jewish people gathered together, by Avol Shmuel Haramasa, and they came to Shmuel, who was at the time in Ramah, by Amruei Love, and the elders of Israel said to him, Hinei ata zakanta, you're an old man, Shmuel, uvanecha lo halchu bedrachecha, and your children are not following in your ways. We loved having you as our leader. We loved having you as our judge. We loved what you did. But your children who are taking over the reins are not qualified. They are doing terrible things. Ata, and therefore, sima lanu melech l'shafteinu kichol hagoyim. We would like to appoint a king upon us who will judge us like all other nations. And Shmuel was not happy with this. Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel. Shmuel was upset. Kasher amru tina lanu melech l'shafteinu. When they said, give us a king to judge us. Vayispalel Shmuel el Hashem. And Shmuel called out to Hashem for guidance. As I pointed out last week, this is one of the great character traits of Shmuel. Although he was personally insulted by this, they were basically firing him from his job. He didn't take immediate swift action, but he paused. He consulted with Hashem what the right thing to do was. Pasuk 7. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, and Hashem says to Shmuel, Shma b'kol ha'am. If the people want a king, Shmuel, give him a king. Listen to them. L'chol asher yomer alecha, whatever they tell you, you should do it. Ki lo oscha masu, because their request for a king is not an expression of their despising you. They are despising me. The fact that Bnei Yisrael want a king is not a rejection of you. It's a rejection of me. Pasuket, Kichol ha-ma'asim asher asu miyom ha-losi osam mitzrayma v'yad hayom hazeh. This is like everything else, the way the people have treated me. Me meaning Hashem. From the day that I took him out of Egypt until this very day. Vayazvuni vayavdu Elohim achirim. They left me. They worshipped false gods. Kein hema osim gamlach. And so this is what they're doing to you. It's not about you. It's about me. Viata, nevertheless, shma bekolam. I am directing you, Shmuel, to listen to the wishes of the people. Ach ki ha'ed ta'id bahem, but you should forewarn them. And let them know that getting a king is not necessarily all that it's cracked up to be. Tell them the following. He got it alahem. Mishpat ha'melech asher yimloch aleihem. You should tell them about the practices of any king who's going to rule over them. Vayomer Shmuel. And Shmuel says to the Jewish people, Eskol divrei Hashem. Tells them everything that God told him. So just let's summarize here for a second. Shmuel was an old man. His children were now taking over the reins of leading the people. His children were not proper, and they were corrupt. And so therefore, the Ziknei Yisrael, the elders of the Jewish people, came to Shmuel and said, listen, we want a king to rule over us, to judge us, to lead us. Just we want to be like any other nation. And Hashem says to Shmuel, even though Shmuel was upset, Hashem says to Shmuel to heed the call of the people and give him a king. If they want a king, get him a king. Pasuk 11, Vayomer zeyeh mishpat ha-melech asher yimloch aleichem. But Hashem says to Shmuel, before you go ahead with it, give him a warning and tell them what they're in for. So Shmuel does. Pasuk 11, Vayomer zeyeh mishpat ha-melech. And Shmuel says to the people, if you get a king, be aware that this is what you're in for. As b'neichem yikach, he will take your children, v'samlo b'merkav tov farashav, and he will make them the chariot, the wagon drivers and the horsemen. V'ratzu lifnei merkav tov, and they will be runners in front of his chariots. In other words, they will be conscripted into the military as well as into positions of servitude to the king. That's what's going to happen to you if you go with the king. That's just how kings go. And he will appoint them as chiefs over the people. And they will have to plow the king's fields and reap the king's harvests and make his weapons and the equipment for his chariots. And the king, you know, what do kings do? Kings will take your daughters and they will make bring them into servitude, and they will have to run his palaces, and they will become cooks and perfumers and bakers. In other words, having a king is going to be come at great cost to you. Furthermore, Esdosechem Karmechem Vizeisechem Atovim, Pasuk 14, he's going to take the best of your fields, the best of your vineyards, the best of your olive groves, and he'll give them to his courtiers. Yikach Vinasan Lavadav, he's going to give them to his people. Vizarechem Vicharmechem Ya'asor, he will take a tenth, he will take a tithe, you know, miser from the rest of your crops. And he'll give it to all his courtiers. Pasuk 16. He'll take your male slaves, your female slaves, your young men, your donkeys, your asses, and he's all going to put them to work for him. And he will take a miser, a tenth of your animals. So all this is going to happen. You want a king? It's going to come with great cost. This is what happens with people and kings. Pasuk 18. And then when that day comes, and you have buyer's remorse, right? You know, you buy a car, and you go in, and you spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a car. You drive it off the lot, and then 24 hours later, you have buyer's remorse. You buy a house for $100,000, $1 million, something in the middle, more or less, whatever it is, 10 days later, you have buyer's remorse. So this is what's going to happen. You're going to have buyer's remorse. V'lo yaneh Hashem eschem b'yom ahu. And you're going to call out to me, but I'm not going to respond to you on that day. V'yimanu ha'am l'shmoa b'kol Hashem. So the people heard this, or I don't know if they heard it or not, but they heard the words. It did not really penetrate their minds. And they said, we're in for a king. We don't care. V'yomru lo ki melech yaleinu. We want a king. Pasuk 20, v'hayagam anachnu k'chol agoyim. We want to be like all the other nations. All the other nations of the world have kings. We want a king. Ushvatanu malkeinu, and he will judge us. V'yatza lefaneinu, and he will go out before us. V'nilchamis milchavteinu, and he will fight our wars. 21, v'yishma Shmuel es kol divrei Hashem ha'am. Shmuel heard the response of the people. V'yidabrein bazne Hashem, and he relayed this message to God himself. V'yomer Hashem el Shmuel, and Hashem says to Shmuel, you told the people, you warned the people, they said they want it anyway, give him what they want. Himlachta lahem melech, give them a king. V'yomer Shmuel el anshei Yisrael, lechu ish le'iro. And Shmuel told the people, go home, we're going to take care of it. And the next parak, which we're not going to do tonight, begins the process of selecting a king. So there are many questions or problems that surround. There are many problems that surround this parak, and the main problem is why exactly is this problematic? After all, if we think back to Sefer Devarim. We know that that Hashem gave a command, and the command was Som Tasim Alach HaMelech. You're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to establish a life in Israel, and you will request a king. Som Tasim Alach HaMelech. You have a mitzvah indeed to appoint a king. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal about appointing a king? Why is it such a terrible thing? That's the essential question, which we're going to deal with. And what I want to, and the way I want to address it is with three approaches. I'm going to share my screen with you again in a minute. Just in a moment here. There we go. Okay. I'd like to share with you something from the Radak, something from the Malbim, and then an idea from the Vilna Gaon, which I think can help us give an insight to what's going on over here. Okay. So, let's go here. Perek 8, Pasuk. Pasuk 5. So we're going to start with the Radak. Here we go. Okay, we have the Radak. Let's see, is this going to work here? No, that did not work. I just accidentally shut it all down. Let's try that again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Commentary. Here we go. Okay, the Radak says the following. I'm actually going to read through it with you. Sima lanu melech on the right-hand side of your, on the right-hand side of your page. Sima lanu melech. Amu Rabbo Seinu. Our Chachamim said the following. Gimel mitzvos nitztavu Yisrael b'chnisasam la'eretz. There are three mitzvahs that Hashem commanded Bnei Yisrael when they entered the land. Limnos aleihen melech, to appoint a king. Limchos zera amalek, to wipe out Amalek. V'livnos beis habechira, and to build the beis hamikdash. So there are three mitzvahs. King, destroy Amalek, build the beis hamikdash. Imkain asks the Radak the question, if that's the case, Lama haya hadavar ra b'nei Hashem. Why is this so terrible in the eyes of Hashem? Lefi shebitar omes sha'alu oso. So the Radak says the reason is because when they asked for a king, they asked for a king as a statement of rejection of Hashem, of Shmuel and of Hashem. The lo l'shem mitzvah, this wasn't in order to fulfill the mitzvah of appointing a king. Had it been for the purposes of doing Hashem's will and appointing a king to be mekayim the mitzvah, destroying Amalek is a mitzvah. Building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah. Appointing a king is a mitzvah. So if they would come to Hashem, come to Shmuel, and say, we want a king that, for the purposes of fulfilling the divine command, then that wouldn't have been a problem. So it's not what they asked, it's the perspective and the context in which they asked it. And this is true like in in life in general. Two people can ask for the same thing, or two people can say the same thing, two people can demand the same thing, two people can suggest the same thing, but the way in which it is asked, the perspective from which it's coming, can make it a totally different statement. And you see this all the time, right? You see this all the time in life. So ki'ilu amru tna lanu melech, had the people said, we want a king, she yishafteinu biyosher uve'emuna, who will judge us according to righteousness and properness and with faith and fidelity, lo haya davar abeinei Shmuel. And that would not have been terrible in the eyes of Shmuel or Hashem. Shaharei hakosuv meid ki banav lo hayu shoftim yisharim. Because the Navi itself says that his own children were not righteous judges. O ilu amru navo lefanecha utishafteinu ata kol yamecha. Achar she'en ata yachol lechazir olam akomos hayu omrim tov. Or had they said, listen, Shmuel, you're getting up in years, you go as long as you can go, and then until you can't do it anymore, then we want a king. Or we see now it's already too much for you, so we want it. So we want a king. Had they said that, she'ena techlozer ala makomos hayu omrim tov, that would have been fine. O im amru, if they would have said nimne be'atzascha melech aleinu, we want to appoint with your advice a king upon us. Acher shata zakanta, because now you're old. V'hamelech yishafteinu v'yochicheinu, and the king will judge us, and he will reprove us, and he will make us better. V'imara aleinu lishmor derech Hashem, and he will, and his authority will ensure that we are closer to the following the divine will. Zoa sheila haisa tova, derech Hashem. Zoa sheila haisa tova. That type of a request would have been a good request. Aval kisha amru sima lanu melech. But when they said to the king, when they said to Shmuel, appoint for us a king. No, zehayara umiut bitachon b'Hashem. That was bad, because it demonstrated a lack of trust in Hashem. In other words, it's not what they were doing, it's why they were doing it. There's nothing wrong with a king. There's nothing wrong with a king. It's a mitzvah. But if you're trying to get a king for the purposes, for non-divinely inspired purposes, that can only lead to disaster. And that's not the... And that's not the way to go. So what did they actually say? Hey, Mamru, they said, whoops, here. Hey, Mamru, they said, right, starting over here. The Od She'amru, Kichol HaGoyim. Furthermore, they said, as somebody pointed out last week, Kichol HaGoyim, that they want a king like any other nation. They don't need a king like any other nation if they are in fact following Derech Hashem. Ki hu lochem es milchamosam. God is fighting their wars, right? You want, you want the military of Micronesia going out to battle for you when you could have the full weight and power of the United States military, right? They have Hashem himself who can go to war, and they want some melech. Lefikach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Hashem said to Shmuel, Lo schamasu. They're not upset with you. They're not rejecting you. Ki osimasu. They're rejecting me. The ein kavana samshim yasu oscha lemishpat. Ki ein amrotzim melech bidvar hamishpat levad. Ki dai hayalahem becha kol yimei chayacha. It's not about, you know, judging per se. They were happy with you, all these years. Aval ata kishematsu ila lishol shofet shalu melech. But now, when they had a motivation to ask for a shofet, they asked for a king. They could have asked just for a replacement of you if you're not capable of doing the job anymore. The fact that they said, we want a, not a replacement of you or a shofet, they want a king. So that just shows that the whole thing is a farce. This is not about, this is just a ruse in order to get their true motivation, you know, their true desire. And that is to melech kechol hagayim. So this is a bad thing. Uvedivrei chazal machlokas mehem amru lama nanshu. And there's a dispute amongst the rabbis. Why were the people punished for having a king? Al shehigdimu kechol hagoyim. It's because they prefaced it by saying, we want to be like all the other nations. Umehem amru lo bikshalahem melech. And there are those who said, no, the people were punished because they only wanted a king, ela lahavidam avodah zarah, because they wanted to do avodah zarah. They had this impulse for avodah zarah, And this is what they wanted. V'hayinu anachnu kichol hagayim u'mehem amru zikenim shebahem kihogen shalu shenemar sima aleinu melech l'shafteinu v'ame ha'aret shebahem kilkilu. And there's a third approach that said that the elders were pure of heart, but the masses had these more nefarious motivations. Okay. So the point of the Radak here is that when the Jewish people ask, or when the elders on behalf of the Jewish people ask for a king, isn't it in line with a mitzvah of Som Tasim Alech HaMelech? It's one of the three basic mitzvahs that the Jewish people have to accomplish upon entering the land. The Radak says, if we could sum it up, no, it's not one of the three mitzvahs. What they asked for is not one of the three mitzvahs. Had they asked for a king in line with the mitzvah Hashem, that would have been different. That would have been entirely different, right? I mean, like I have it in with my students in the high school where I teach. So some kids will say, you know, can we push off the test instead of having it on Wednesday? We want it on Thursday. And the reason why they want to put a show from Wednesday to Thursday is because of the fact that they want to be able to study better. There's some kids who want to push off the test because they just want to push off the test as far as they possibly can. They're not studying one way or another. Right? It's the same request. It's the same request. But one has a lishma behind it, and the other one is not lishma. So that's what the Radak says. The Radak says that the request of Klal Yisrael was essentially shalol lishma. It was essentially rotten at its core, and therefore that was the problem. So that's what the Radak says. However, we share with you the Malbim. The Malbim fleshes out the question. The Malbim fleshes out the question, and I want to go with you through with you the Malbim's questions, because they're even more powerful to sort of reflect and reinforce the problem which we posed, which was, you know, what's the problem with having a king? So we suggested the problem, but he even takes it, shows he even poses the question with greater strength. So he says the following. He loads up on the questions here. We're not going to read all of them, but just to give you a flavor. It says, Mahaya haketzef al shelas hamelech. What is a big deal? What's so angry about this request? V'hiachas mitzvah satar. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. U'mashkos el chachameinu sheshalu shelo be'onaso. So some say they asked for it out of order. In other words, ki hamitzvah hu la'achar milchemes Amalek. That the mitzvah is only after you wipe out Amalek. Then you ask for a king. The od imkain lama milashelasam. If that's the case, whatever the answer is, so why did God ultimately accede to their wishes? Right. So, furthermore, if according to some approaches in Chazal that they just wanted to do avodah zarah, so like you know why? You know, like why would Hashem even let them go down this road? And when it says we want somebody to judge us, that's similar to what it says in the Torah. V'amarta sima alai melech k'chol agayim. So it doesn't seem to be much different. You know, it's hard to understand what the objection here is. What they're asking for, k'chol agayim, is already is written in the Torah. And if it's for some nefarious purpose, why did Hashem accede to their wishes? I'm just going to read it. Lama tzivsa ha-Torah la-hakim la-hamelech, achar shi-azeh chet va-avon. If it's so terrible, why did the Torah command a king? V'lama hosif l'mshoach as David, achar kach. And if it's so bad to have a king, so then why did Hashem command to appoint David ha-melech later on? V'livnos beis malchus l'dor darim, and to have a monarchy for generations and generations. If it's so bad, right, then how do you explain all this? The Torah said the fact that he tells the people, he tells Shmuel to tell the people that the downside of having a king, did not the Torah itself put in certain safeguards in order to ensure that these things don't happen? That's called the law of the king. That's written into the Torah. The Torah has safeguards that all these things that Shmuel warns the people about, a Jewish king won't do that or shouldn't do that because Mishpat HaMelech. So for all of these reasons, it's not clear what exactly the problem is of the Jewish people requesting a king from Shmuel and from Hashem. So the Malbim gives a second approach here. And again, I don't think we're going to read the whole thing. We'll glance through it, and he picks up on a few points. But let's just skip over here to right over here. So he says, "Kafia mavuar etzli hayachatasam mishlosha panim." There were three perspectives or three aspects to the sin. To the sin of the Jewish people requesting a king. Aleph, shehagam shehatorah tzivsa ohitira lahakim lahem melech, pligi bazeh Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nehorai, imakama samelech reshuso chova. To the extent that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, it's not clear whether that mitzvah is an obligation or it is a option. And to one extent to the other. Seems like it is something which is necessary for uniting the people. It's quite necessary, whether it's an obligation, whether it's a reshus, but the fact that it comes after, when you come into the land, and you will inherit it, and you will dwell there, and you will say, Asim alai melech, it seems that establishing a monarchy is necessary and important and critical for the kibbutz, for the unity of the people. Ukemosh kosev hachokrim, and as some of these scholars philosophers have pointed out, Shiyachus hamelech bekibbutz hamedini, ki yachus halev beguf habal chayim, that a king has to relate to the affairs of state the same way, the function of a king to the affairs of state and to holding the country together is ki yichus halev beguf habal chayim. That is the way the heart relates to the body. It's central. Asher lo lev, asher lo albal chayim, asher lo lev, uki yichus hametzius el hasiba rishona yitala. Okay, so a king is critical. A king is critical. It's critical to holding the people together. A king is important for the affairs of state, for the nation to be to be defined as one. And there are three aspects here of a melucha, three aspects of monarchy. Aleph, ha'achdus, unity, to unify the nation. Two, ha'asmada v'heder achiluf, provides continuity from generation to generation. And three, ha'yecholas ha'muchlat, absolute capability and power. Amnam kol ze la'amim asher al pnei adama ha'misnagim kifit ha'luchot ha'teva. So the Malbim says, this is all true when it comes to a normal, regular nation that is operating according to natural law. V'chein li Yisrael, be'eis sar tzilam, and this is true even for the Jewish people, when Hashem is not directly, through divine providence, daily engaging the people, right? God is always there, sort of behind the scenes guiding things, but there's, Hashem as active leader, like when he took the Jewish people out of Egypt, and Hashem was running things day to day. He wasn't just the president, but he was the CEO. He wasn't just the king, he was the prime minister, running things day to day. Moshe was his right-hand man. And then there are times in Jewish history when Hashem sort of allows for natural flow of events, with Hashem guiding things in the background. And that, Hanhagasam tachas misibos hamikra v'hateva, az menahechrech shiakim oleem melech l'lchon l'chamosam. When do the Jewish people need a king? The Jewish people need a king when God steps into the background. But when God is running things through a Navi, through a Moshe Rabbeinu, through whatever, then what do you need a king for? Yav Hashem. Lo kein be'es hifla Hashem osam mikol hamim v'yanhigem tachas shevet hashkacha so hapratit. When God is running things, you don't need another king. Let's skip down here. V'lachein, and therefore, Amar, ki ba'od shetirosh v'teshevas ha'aretz, shebe'es ha'hi avar Hashem lifnehem, at the time when you go into the land, and Hashem is running your wars, and Hashem is helping you conquer the people, and Hashem is helping you settle the land, and Hashem is there in the forefront, doing things through miracles and through wondrous events, then at that time, at that point, it is not appropriate, right, or allowed for them to ask for a king. It's chutzpahdik, actually. Hashem is running things day to day, right? With his, like we say on Pesach, right? Hashem took us out biyad chazaka of Izro Natuya, lo al yidei malach, lo al yidei sarf, not through an angel and not through some intermediary. Hashem was right there doing it himself. So when Hashem is running things directly, then you're going to ask for a king? Doesn't make sense. And it's wrong. Rak over here, continuing. Rak achar Yerusha v'yeshiva. However, after the conquest of the land. And Hashem is no longer running things day to day, and the people settle in. Then and the Jewish nation is running according to the normal natural ways of the world. Then it's appropriate to have a king. Then the Jewish people are being run by nature. So then it's either an obligation or it's permissible. They can appoint a king like all other nations. Because at that point, in terms of the body politic of how they're running the country, the nation, it's being run according to the laws of nature, normal nature. In that case, then they need a proper king. And therefore, Ulafiza Hineba Otshmo Chai, when Shmuel was still alive, and God's divine providence was running through Shmuel, and they had a Navi running things, and they had Hashem right there, then it was a terrible thing to ask for a king. So that's why Hashem set up a monarchy with David HaMelech for hundreds and hundreds of years, because the idea of having a king is not inherently bad. The idea of having a king is only inherently bad when Hashem is the alternative. But if Hashem himself is stepping back and allowing things to run according to laws of nature, then there's nothing wrong with having a king. Haim Amru, they said, Tana lanu melech l'shafteinu, we want a king to judge us. Shemara ki matzu avlasa b'mishpatav ad shemibakshim shofet acher tov mimenu. They also wanted to actually, I'm going to skip this part. I apologize. I'm going to skip this part. Hold on. I told you, this is quite a long piece. Hold on. Okay. All right, so the Malbim makes one of their points here, and this has to do with with how Shmuel versus how Hashem understood their request. But at the end of the day, their request was problematic because they were basically asking for God to step aside in favor of a human king, and they were asking for, rather than God through the Navi to show His direct providence and day-to-day leadership over the people, like during Yetzias Mitzrayim, they wanted just to be, like a king like any other king. So that's problematic. But as time moves on and God steps back, then it's absolutely proper to have a king. The one question with this Malbim is, if this is the case, why did Hashem agree to their wishes? Why did Hashem tell Shmuel, give them what they want? Why was there no pushback? So that brings me to a third and final approach here to the question of appointing a king. This is based on something that the Vilna Gaon wrote in terms of explaining the idea of a Melech B'Yisrael, a king for the Jewish people. And let me just see if I can share this with you. Give me one second. Here we go. One second. Okay. I'm just going to share with you. It's a very brief piece here. Okay. All right, sharing my screen with you now. And there we go. Let's see if this is opening. Right. I'm going to unshare my screen. Oh, there it goes. Okay. All right, so this is a quote from the Vilna Gaon regarding his understanding of what a melech is. Right, as it's opening up, I'll begin. So the Vilna Gaon says the following. says the difference between a there's a difference between a melech and a moshel, between a melech and a moshel. Second, sorry guys, let's try this one more time. Okay. All right, I'm having trouble opening this. Oh, there we go. Ah, there we go. Okay. Okay.
We don't see anything, Rabbi.
All right, I'm going to share my screen with you again. If it works, it works. If not, then I'll just tell it to you by al peh. Okay. I'm just... Okay. Okay. So this is from a brief essay written by a fellow, Mendel Weiss, I believe his name, and he cites the Vilna Gaon here. And he writes the following. Ki melech nikra mi shememanim oso biratzon. A king, listen to this, is somebody who is appointed by the will of the people, biratzon ha'am, by the acquiescence of the people. So the word melech, nigzar milashon hamlacha, comes from the word hamlacha, which means shemityaatzin. The word hamlacha, nimlach, means to consult, to take advice. That's the idea of a king. A melech is somebody who's there with the consent of the people. Right, the people sort of consult and take advice, and they agree to the king. There's a, it's not exactly leading from behind, as President Obama said a few years ago, but it's more like getting buy-in. It's like getting buy-in. That's a melech. A moshel is somebody is. Mi shemoshel bechazaka al ha'am, somebody who is ruling by force. V'zesh amar l'Hashem hamlucha haynu Yisrael. The Jewish people have a melech because Yisrael mekablim aleihem ol malchus yisbarach baratzon. Because the Jewish people accept the ruler, the kingship of God upon them. U'moshel bagoyim bechazaka af shelo biratzonam. And Moshel Bagayim, rulership over the nations of the world. That is even without buy-in. So the difference between a Melech and a Moshel, the difference between the relationship of Hashem and the Jewish people, and a king amongst the nations of the world, is whether you're there by force or you have buy-in of the people. So what this means, therefore, is that the people are empowered. The people are empowered. It's a powerful thing to think about. And the reason why that's so important is because as a Jewish people, the whole notion of our relationship with the Rabbonu Shel Olam is based on our sense of empowerment, free will, choice to make decisions to do the right thing or the wrong thing. Hashem wants avadim, but avadim who choose avdus, right? Choose to be slaves of Hashem, servants of Hashem. And everything that we do is based on bechira chafshis, is based on freedom of choice. That is empowerment. We are empowered to be independent individuals. Hashem gives us that power and tells us use that power. Now, what do the people ask Hashem? They say, "Simalanu melech kechol agoyim." We want a king like the other nations of the world. We don't want this relationship of empowerment. We want a king that is just going to do for us and rule over us and tell us what to do. That's what they want. Let's read the Psukim again. The people say, "Som tasim alacha." The people say, "We want simalanu melech. We want a king." Hashem says, "Do me a favor, Shmuel. Go and tell them what they're in for." And he tells them, and he says, "Your children are going to be conscripted to the army, and they're going to take your stuff, and you're all these things about how the king is going to sort of rule your life." And they say, "Well, that's what we want. We don't want to empower the king. We want the king to rule over us. We want a Moshel." They say the word melech, but the context of what they want is they want a Moshel. They don't want to be empowered. They're afraid of empowerment. Perhaps, I can't get into the psychology, but oftentimes people are afraid to be empowered. And perhaps they're running away from their responsibility. Their responsibility is bechira chafshus, personal responsibility, to make decisions, to make choices. And they're running away from it. So when they say, "We want a king," let me just read the pasuk again. So they say, "Hinei zakanta, simalanu melech l'shafteinu kichol hagayim." We want a king who will judge us like all the other nations. Shmuel's upset by that. And Hashem says, you missed the point. They're not rejecting you. This is not about you judging or not judging. This is about rejecting me. And the relationship that Hashem has is a melech that empowers the people, demands the people to be empowered and independent and responsible and assume responsibility for themselves. And Shmuel tells the people, "Listen what you're in for. He's going to take your wagons and your chariots and conscribe your boys and your daughters and your sons. And he's going to take your crops, and he's going to take a tenth of your crops. He's going to take the best of your fields, and he's going to take your slaves, and it's going to all go to him. And he's going to do all this stuff, which is in essence sort of taking entire advantage." Is this what a Melech B'Yisrael is? No. Are there rules of how a Melech B'Yisrael is supposed to work? Yes. So why is Hashem telling him that this is what they're going to get? What Hashem is saying is, sort of testing them, saying, "Is this the kind of king that you want?" And they said, "Yes. We don't care. We're okay with that. We're okay with somebody ruling us and telling us what to do and controlling us and taking our fields and doing all that." And Hashem says, "If that's what you want, that's what you get." And that's what was so bad about it. Now, why did Hashem ultimately allow for a David HaMelech and set up? Because that's a different type of melucha. That's a Melech B'Yisrael. The reason that he allowed a king to begin with is because he's giving them what they want in a sense that they're having a king, but he's still giving them a king which is going to hopefully demand, I want to say it differently. They asked for a king in one conception of what they had in mind, and Hashem gave them a king that he had in mind. They wanted a king that would take responsibility away from themselves. And Hashem gave them a king, or charged them with a king, that was meant to challenge them. So he's not upset. He didn't give them a king to basically say, "All right, you wanted a king, now I'm giving you a king. I'm messing you over." No. What Hashem did was to bring out into the open what exactly they wanted. And that's what was problematic. And that's what's punishable, actually, as well. But Hashem didn't give them that. That was just for the purposes of putting it out on the table to, you know, sort of as a nisayon. And now they get the king, not that they want, but the king that they need. Now, do the kings succeed? Shaul, you know, maybe succeeded partially, entirely, not at all. David HaMelech, partially, entirely, not at all. Who knows? But that's the role of the king as it's meant to be. Hashem gives them the king that they need, not the king that they asked for. So to the question of what's so bad about it, the answer is, a king is not inherently bad. A Melech Yisrael is not inherently bad. Because such a king is meant to empower and challenge the people. The problem is not the king that they got. The problem is the king that they asked for. And Hashem has the rachmanus on them not to give them the king that they asked for, but to give them the king that they deserve, that they need. Again, is he the king successful or not successful? That's another story. But ultimately, what emerges from Perek Ches is a flawed request from Bnei Israel to appoint a king. Either like the Radak said, because they wanted, they didn't want Dvar Hashem, or like the Malbim said that they wanted just a regular king when Hashem's providence was on top of them the whole time, or like I'm suggesting based on this interpretation of the Vilna Gaon, that they wanted a king that would take responsibility for them rather than a relationship with Melech Malchei Hamalachim, which empowers them and demands responsibility. Ultimately, the story of the Jewish people continues with the king, and we'll see how they do in that environment as well. Okay, any questions or comments before we cut out for the night?
I can say that the Mashiach will be also a king.
Yes, Melech HaMashiach, a Melech that will empower and challenge the people, not a Melech that will assume the responsibility.
He will judge also.
And he will judge, yes, and he will judge. Daron?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I can't remember, maybe I heard this from Rabbi Angel, but maybe, it's interesting, you know, when the people come back and they say, no, we still want the king. So they add, you know, the same as...